Torah Way, Northwest London, Wednesday, the 20th of November, Chof Beis Cheshvan, Rabbi Jeremy Golka, Parsha Themes.
Okay, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good to be back here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so what I would like to do this morning is to share three or four different ideas on this week's Parsha. The first one is a very interesting theme I came across. I can't remember exactly who I heard it from, but it's a very beautiful idea. I think I heard it from the Gates of Rosh Shiva of Ram Gurvitz, but I can't exactly remember. The Mishnah says in the beginning of Kiddushin, a well-known Mishnah, Ho'isha niknis b'shalosh drachim. A woman is acquired, you affect Kiddushin in one of three ways. B'kesef, b'shtar, u'b'biyah. Kesef, shtar, and biyah. So the Gemara wants to know, how do you know kesef? How do you know you can mekadesh a woman with kesef? That's, of course, the way we do it. Yeah, that we go to a chuppah, and under the chuppah he gives a ring or something of value to the woman, and that is how we affect kiddushin. So the Gemara wants to know, how do you know this? It says the Gemara, kesef minolon. So the Gemara famously answers, gomar kicha kicha mistei efrei. We learned it out, so gezer shava kicha kicha mistei efrei. Fine. So we learn out, it says in the parasha of Kiddushin, ki yikach ish isha, and it says in this week's parasha, nosati kesef hasode kach mimeni. Kicha kicha, therefore we learn out from Stay Ephraim. Now, there are probably 1,000 places where HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have put a connection between Kiddushin on one side of the Gezer Shalva, and the other side of the Gezer Shalva could have been anywhere. Why did that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dafka want to put to Kicha, the other side of the Gezer Shalva, from Stay Ephraim in this week's parasha? So, I think I heard it from Avraham Gurvitz. He said the following very beautiful idea. Imagine you get a fellow who he wants to invest in property. So let's say he's got £50,000 available. So he goes to an auction and he buys a little house in Scotland somewhere. So he buys £50,000 a house in Scotland. Oh, a week after buying this house, he gets a phone call, and it happens to be the PA of a very famous musician, a famous rock star. And he says, the PA says to this fellow, I heard you bought this house in somewhere in Scotland. So he said, yeah. So he says, well, did you know that I work for so-and-so? And that house used to be, we've just found out, it belonged to my boss's grandmother. And this is of enormous sentimental value to him. And therefore, he would like to buy it from you. So you say to him, well, look, I'm very pleased for you, but this is not for sale. I bought this in auction. This is an investment for me. I'm not really looking to sell it. So the fellow says, well, I don't think you understand. We're looking to buy it for £1,000,000. And you've got till this afternoon, till 5 p.m. to decide whether you want to sell it. So you probably won't take till 5 p.m. You won't go to the wire, and you'll probably go with it. A good deal. And for the next few weeks and months and however long, you're thinking to yourself, I got a bargain. I bought this for £50,000. A few hours later, I get a phone call. I'm selling it for £1,000,000. It's been a good week at the office. Now, no doubt, that is how Ephraim felt. This is a property which is not worth 400 shekel kesef. And yet, I've got a fellow here who's willing to pay top dollar. So he walked away, Ephraim, thinking, I've got deal of the century. Avraham Avinu, on the other hand, when he signed the contract, he walked away thinking, he's got deal of the century. This is Ma'aretz HaMachpelah, this is the land of Kivrei Avos. This is where Adam and Chava are buried. This is where Sarah, Avram will be buried, all the Avos and Moshe are going to be buried. This is the place where the Tikkuni Zoya apparently says where Tchias HaMesim is going to emanate from. This is where it's all going to begin. This is the place of one of the great holy sites in Eretz Yisrael. So it's priceless. I'll pay anything for it. So both parties walked away as if they've got deal of the century. Ephraim walked away, look what I've got, I'm a millionaire. Avraham walked away, I've bought it. That is how a chasna should be. Each party should think, the chasna should think, I've got the most wonderful wife in the whole world. She is perfect for me. And she should turn around and say, I've got this guy, he's wonderful. He's the best, I've got deal of the century. If both parties feel like that, that is a recipe for success. That's why Dafka, we learned it from Stay Ephraim. Now to add to that, I'm going to share with you a very interesting Gemara. It's interesting, you know, sometimes I was learning a Mishnah last night in learning Yevamos, and in the last parak of the last Mishnah, the 12th parak, it discusses how you do chalitza, the nuts and bolts. He speaks, she speaks, she takes the shoe off his foot, and then the rakika. It tells you how you actually do it. You've got to wait over 100 daf into Yevamos to know how to do chalitza. It's an interesting thing. Well, if you learn Maseches Gittin, you're entitled to wonder on what grounds are you allowed to get divorced. You've got to wait until the very last Mishnah in Gittin, literally the very last Mishnah, Daf Tzadi Omed Aleph, the last Mishnah in Gittin, to answer your question. Let's take a look at the Mishnah, the second box. The Mishnah says, Beis Shammai Omrim, Leyegarish Odom Es Ishtoi, El Im Kein Motzeh Dova Erva. You're not allowed to divorce a wife unless there's been a Dova Erva, some matter regarding Orias. Shenema Ki Motzeh Bo Ervas Dova, it says in the Pasuk. That's Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Omrim, Afilu Higdicha Tafshilai. No, it doesn't have to be a Dova Erva. Even if she burnt the food, that is sufficient. Shenema Ki Motzeh Bo Ervas Dova, says Rashi on that Mishnah there in Gittin. Either she burnt it because it was on the flame for too long. She put too much salt in it or something like that. Why? Says the pasuk, ki motzavo ervas dova, says Rashi, lebeis hillel mashma lehu, oy erva, oy shara dova sirchein. Either an erva or any other matter. That's Beis Shammai, that's Beis Hillel. Says the Mishnah, a third opinion. Rabbi Akiva, oymer, Afilu motza acheres noehemena. Even if he finds a wife who's nicer than her, noehemena, that is grounds for divorce. Shenema v'ayimosim sachin de'enav, she doesn't find favor in his eyes. It's a very strange opinion. Very, very, very difficult to understand. And of all people, it's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, whose motto in life is, v'ahavta l'recha kameicha, and you've got and it says Motzacheres Noemen, and then you're okay to give a divorce to a wife. What's going on? So I once heard pshat, a beautiful pshat. It's exactly what we said above. Each spouse in the marriage has got to think, I am the luckiest person in the world. My spouse is perfect for me. If a person thinks that, then there's a recipe for success in marriage. But if a person thinks perhaps there's someone out there who's noa hemena, who's better, nicer, this or that, or whatever it may be, that's bad news. That's bad news. And that already is grounds for divorce. So therefore, that fits in very beautifully with what we said. And to add to it, there's of course, when you go to a chasna, you stand under the chuppah, the bracha we say, one of the brachas is sameach to samach. What do we say? What's the nusach of the bracha? So I've got in the third box. Sameach to samach reim ha'ahuvim. You're referring back to Adam and Chava began Eden Mikedem. Why are you referring back to that? So it brings out the same idea. At the time when Adam and Chava got married, there were two people in the world. Adam could justifiably say, she is the best person in the world, in the entire world for me. It so happens that she was the only person, but she was the best person in the whole world for me. And she can turn around and say, this is it, perfect. He is he's the only guy in the world for me. If a chasan and kalev, a couple, go into a marriage with that perspective, that's a recipe for success. So that's really why the Gemara learns it out, kicha kicha mistei Ephraim, because each one thought they'd got a bargain. Okay, let's press on. So the pasuk then continues after Sheni. We deal, the main body of the parasha is, of course, where Eliezer is dispatched by Avraham Avinu to go find a wife for Yitzchak. So if you take a look at the psukim in the bottom box, so Avram zokin ba bayomim vashem berech es Avram bakol. Vayoyim Avram el avdo izakhan beis vahamoshe b'chol asheloi simnot yal tchotachas yirechi. He made to make a shvua. Veshpiach b'ashem elokei ha-shamayim elokei ha-oretz asheloi sikach isho livni mipnoi saknani. You mustn't take a wife for my son mipnoi saknani. Ashanoichi yeshiv b'kirbo. Don't take a wife from this area. Ki, where have you got to go? Ki el arzi ve'el muladati teilechi. You've got to go to my birthplace. Velokachto isha livnizo. Go now. Eliezer can turn around and say, okay, I'll try. I'll go there. But it doesn't always go so smoothly. What if I find a nice young lady, but she's not willing to come back? Says the pasuk, Vayomei lov ha'eved, ulai lo soive ha'isha l'leches acharai. Maybe she won't want to come back. El ha'oretz hazois. Hehoshev hoshev es bincho, shall I leave your son there? Is it a deal breaker? Avram again repeats it very clearly. My son cannot stay there. Etc. The last pasuk. My son cannot stay there. So you cannot get clearer than that. Avram Avinu is categorical. Yitzchok has got to stay here, he's got to be with me, she's got to come back, and if she doesn't want to come back, forget it. Deal with it. You know, if you were Eliezer, you might think to yourself, you know, is there a backup plan? You know, what happens if she doesn't want to come? What's going to be? Who's he going to marry? What's going to happen? Not all women are going to want to live in this area. What's the backup plan? So I saw one of my friends' emails, I don't know if it's in one of the Sfarim, but I used to get these emails from the Yad Yechiel Foundation years and years ago, which I kept, thankfully. And he says a beautiful pshat. He says that Avraham Avinu is teaching a very important Torah Hashgacha. We have got to do the right thing. We have got to do, you know, based on Torah values, we've got to live our lives. And what's going to be if, and what's going to happen if, that's not our problem. That's not our problem. We've got to do the right thing in every situation. He gives a good illustration. You know, in the yeshiva in the 19th century was Volozhin. It started in the early 1800s by Reb Chaim Volozhin, the Talmud of the Gaon. And then Reb Itzhak Volozhin took over, his son. And then in the 1850s, the Netziv eventually took over. And he led the yeshiva for many decades, and it was constantly under threat. It was constantly under threat that they had to introduce Russian studies and secular studies, which the Netziv didn't want. And eventually, in 1892, the Netziv had to close the yeshiva. The Russian government, you know, the bribes weren't working. After many decades of working the system, they couldn't do it anymore. The Russians came, they literally locked the yeshiva. And they said, if you don't introduce Russian studies and other studies from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and the Netziv says, I can't, you know, this is it. This is not how yeshiva is going to operate. Now you can turn around and you can say to the Netziv, but what's going to be with Klal Yisrael? Where are we going to have the next generation of Russian yeshiva? Where are we going to have the future Gedolim, and this is the engine that keeps Klal Yisrael going? How can you just close the yeshiva? And this is not just a question about secular studies, yes, no, whatever. You can't compare, you know, Russian intervention in the late 19th century to modern times. But the point is that the Netziv took a very dramatic decision. And he had to close the yeshiva because he felt that he cannot do what he needs to do if they're interfering in that to that extent. What's going to be with Torah? I don't know, that's not my problem. I've got to do the right thing at the right time. And ironically, that the closure of Volozhin in the late 19th century, it spurned many other great yeshivas. All the great yeshivas, some exist today, as a result of this, they mushroomed out because of the closure of Volozhin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deal with it. But our role is to turn around and say, we've got to just do the right thing. What will be, what's the backup plan? Sometimes there is no backup plan. I'll read you an interesting thing. Listen to this. A relative of Reb Chaim, the great Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, once came to him and suggested that his son, Reb Velvel, the Brisker Rav, he should learn the Russian language. This is what he said. The relative said, today, to be a rabbi, One has to know how to speak Russian. It is time for a Velvel to learn Russian. To which Reb Chaim responded, so he won't be a rabbi. The man persisted. He said, well, to be a businessman, it's certainly necessary to know Russian. So Reb Chaim responded, so he won't be a businessman. So the man said, well, even to be a Rosh Hashiva today, one must know Russian to speak to the students and to the parents. So Reb Chaim responded, so he won't be a Rosh Hashiva. So finally the man said, well, if he won't be a Rav, and he won't be a businessman, and he won't be a Rosh Hashiva, what will be with him? So Reb Chaim responded, he said, he'll be a poor man who'll know Shas by heart. But that's the vote. But we have to do what we've got to do, and the consequences, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's responsibility. Okay, let's turn over the page. There's a very interesting medrash. The medrash on this week's parasha says this: Dalad Hain Shetovu Sheloi Kahigan. There are four categories of people, four people, who asked Sheloi Kahigan inappropriately. Legimel Nitain Kahigan. Three of them answered favorably. Le'echod Nitain Sheloi Kahigan. And the fourth one was not answered positively. Ve'elu Hain. And here are the four people. Eliezer Eved Avraham, from our parsha, Kolev, Sha'ol, and Yiftach. So the Medrash goes through each one. Eliezer said, V'hoyo ha'nara she'oime eleha. Eliezer said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avraham has sent me to find a kala for Yitzchak. And he said, I'm going to make a deal. We'll make a t'nai. Whoever comes to the well and offers me and my camels to drink, Well, that she'll be the one. Says the Medrash, that was a very dangerous, risky thing to do. Says the Medrash, ha'ilu yotze ima achas v'ishgosu ha'imasir leben adonai. Anyone, whoever would have come along and would have got the position. Anyone could have come along. V'zimin HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaygen, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, notwithstanding that, sent Rivka along, as it says, v'yuterem kilo ledabe v'hinei Rivka yotzas. Fine. Next one is Kolev. Kolev Omar in the beginning of Shoftim, Asher Yake es Kiryas Sefer v'lochta, whoever captures Kiryas Sefer, v'nosati es achso biti le'isha, I'll give my daughter Achsa as a wife to whoever conquers Kiryas Sefer. Says the Medrash that again, that was a reckless thing to do. Because ilu lochta eved echot, hoyonosin le'bitay, v'zimina kodish baruch hu kahigen. Because anyone could have come along. Anyone could have come along and captured Kiryat Sefer. But the Medrash carries on again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded favorably, because Zimin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kohagen, Shenema V'yilkada Osniel Ben Knoz. The great Osniel Ben Knoz came along, he captured Kiryat Sefer, V'yitin Es Achsa Bitter Le'isha. And therefore he married off his daughter, Achsa to her. Good. Third one, Shaul. Shaul, also in Shmuel, with the episode with Goliath, he said, "V'hoyu ha'isha she'yakenu ya'ashrenu ha'melech ha'ishagodl." Whoever stands up and fights Goliath and is victorious will become very wealthy. I'll give him a lot of money. There's bitter yitin Elisha, and he'll marry the king's daughter. He'll marry my daughter. So again, the Medrash says that is a very reckless thing to do. Ha'ilu yotzo kushi echod ve'kechov mechod ve'eved ve'koyu inosin lebitay. Had anyone come along, he would have given over the daughter of the king to this gentleman. The Zimin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kohagen. But yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him Kohagen. As it says, the Chsid V'David Ben Ish Efrasi, he was the one who stood up, and he was victorious over Goliath. And he married the daughter of Shaul. So three out of three, so far, asked Shaloi Kohagen, but they got a response, which was Kohagen. The fourth one was Yiftach. Says the Medrash, Yiftach, also in Shoftim, says, V'hoya ha'yotza she'yetze, etc. V'hoya v'aliso o'il l'ashem. Whatever comes through the gate, I'm going to offer up. So again, as a sign of thanks, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Medrash, again, very risky. Ho'ilu yotza chamayra kelev echod echatul. If a donkey, a dog, a cat would have come out, you're going to offer up as a carbon? How can you do that? Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered Sheloi Kahigan, and we all know what happened. Nebuch, his daughter, Vayova Yivdach, Vehine Bitter Yetzas Likrosa, his daughter came out to greet him, and different explanations to what happened, whether he actually had to kill her, or he sent her away to live the rest of her life in seclusion. But either way, it was a tragic end to the story. So the question is, the Beis Av asks an interesting question. Why is it that this one, Dafka with Yiftach, he was answered Shaloi Kogan, but all the others he was answered, they all took big risks. Why was three, you know, responded, the response was favorable and not with Yiftach?
How did the three girls know, or the three men know, their daughter would be willing to take this man?
True. Yeah, that is true. They had to rely on that, and it seems like all three were willing. But the question is, why were those two favorable and this one not?
Right.
So the answer is this. This is what the Beis Av says. A very, very interesting answer. The first three all involved shidduchim. All involved marriage partners. And in the area of marriage, it is legitimate to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you put your hands up and say, you run the show, it's over to you. Because there, it's such a difficult parsha that it's okay to turn around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, and to make deals and to say, I put my hands up, it's over to you. That's okay to say. Yiftach did not involve Shidduchim. And that's what the Yalkut says, the famous Yalkut in Parshas Vayetze. Matruna achas, if you look at the middle box, Matruna shoal al Rabbi Yosi lekami yomim bar HaKadosh Baruch Hu esay lomay. How long did it take for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create the world? So Amalei Lashisha, it's 6 days. Tachsid Kishesh Yom Moshe Hashem, etc. So Me'oisheshav Adachshav Ma'oiseh. So what's he been doing since then? That's already 5,780 years ago. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu been doing since then? Says the Yalkut, Omalo Yoishev Mezavik Zivugim. He's trying to work out Zivugim. It's complicated. That's really preoccupied Kaviyachel HaKadosh Baruch Hu since then. The Chazon Ish once said over. You know, it says twice. In the Gemara, things are as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf. It's always seen as the benchmark of difficulty. So what are the two things in Chazal? So one is Koshel Zvugim. Appears twice in Soita and Sanhedrin. Koshel Zvugim Kriyas Yamsuf. And the next one is Koshel Mezonosuf Shel Adam Kriyas Yamsuf. So I can understand Mezonosuf Shel Adam. Parnasa is difficult. Why? Because there's a klala. The Nochash got a klala. Chava got a klala. And a man got a klala as well. What was his klala? Bezeas apecha teicha lechem. So therefore, I can understand koshin mezonosuf shel adam kriyas yamsuf. They're difficult. You've got to beat the klala. Kriyas yamsuf, koshin zivugim kriyas yamsuf, because again, it's the same thing. Zivugim, for whatever reason, needs tremendous hashgacha and siyata d'shmaya. Because we live in a world of a very dark hest upon it, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very hidden from us, it makes Zivugim doubly difficult. And therefore, it's legitimate to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's over to you to do a deal. Even though the Medrash says they are Shaloi Kahogan, the first three, because they involve Shidduchim, any effort made is considered acceptable. Okay, let's finish off with one very beautiful idea. Again, I heard this in the name of Rabbi Joseph Perlman. I don't know if it's his idea, it sounds like his idea, or whether it's he quoted someone else, I don't remember. But he says a very interesting thing. So Yitzchok, Eliezer, mission accomplished, he finds a wife for Yitzchok, and he brings back Rivka to meet him. So the pasuk says, if you look at the bottom box, V'atokom Rivka v'narseho, v'atirkavna l'gmanim v'telach na'achreyosh. So they all get back onto the camels and they journey back. And Yitzchok is going out to Davin Mincha, Lifnei Serev. And there are camels, a whole entourage is coming. And she lifts up her eyes. And she sees this man, she's Yitzchok. She falls off the camel. Who is this man? This is my master, this is Yitzchak. What does she do? She covers herself with a scarf. Now Rashi says, vatiskos, grammatically is difficult. What does it mean exactly? So Rashi says, loshen vatispoil. It's the reflexive. And he gives two other examples. He says, and these are not actually his spoil, but they're actually the nifal. The point Rashi is making is that all three are passive, that they were done to you. That's what Rashi means. That's what the Mefarshim on Rashi say. Interesting. Rashi gives two examples to explain what the third one is. Vatiskos. Vatishoveh, Vatikoveh. She was buried. He was buried, and Vatishoveh was broken. So when Joseph Talmud says a beautiful pshat, why dafka these examples? He said that there are three times in a person's life, in a woman's life, when she's going to be center of attention. She's going to be center stage. Number one is, of course, when she gets married. She's the star of the show. And number two is when she's born. Everyone comes to the Kiddush in her honor, Mazel Tov, what's the name? And the third time is Nebuchadnezzar, when she passes on from this world. Everyone goes to the Leviah, she is center of attention. Two out of three times, she is totally oblivious to all the attention. When she's born and when she dies, she may be sent to stage, but she's oblivious to that. The one time where she's not is when she gets married. She's very aware of being sent to stage. The modesty of Rivka was such, says Rashi, that Vatiskos, when she put the bedecking, really, she was as if it was Vatikoveh, Vatishoveh. Vatikoveh, like the third example, when a person passes from this world. Vatishoveh is Russian of she's Yosheves al HaMishpor, of giving birth, the birth stool. Just like in those two occasions, that the girl is totally oblivious to all the fuss made about her, so to overhear that sneers of Rivka was such that she was also oblivious to it. It didn't get to her head. It wasn't. She was almost passive, as it were. So there we have four very beautiful ideas on this week's parasha. Number one, why dafka do we learn out Kiddushe Kesef from Stay Ephraim? The answer is that each one thought they got a bargain. Ephraim thought he's got deal of the century. Avram thought he's bought a priceless destiny, the heritage of Klal Yisrael. Each one they thought they got a deal. You go into a marriage thinking that's a recipe for success. And that's really what the Gemara says in the end of Gittin. Rabbi Kiva says, Motzo acheres noya mena, that's grounds for divorce. Yeah. Because if you don't think your spouse is the most perfect person for you, that's bad news. And that's why the Shevrochas we refer to, Yetziras began, Eden Nikedem, just like Adam and Chava realized that the other one was the most perfect person in the world for them. That's how a person should go into a marriage. Then we had, what's the backup plan? The answer is, it's okay to say there's no backup plan. That's the Jewish Hashkofa. The Netziv closed the yeshiva, even though he didn't know what the backup plan was. You've got to just do the right thing. Third of all, we said that, why is it that Eliezer, Kolev, and Shaul, they are Shaloi Kogan, but they got a favorable response, but Yiftach didn't? Because they asked in the context of Shidduchim. Shidduchim, because they're so difficult, it's appropriate to put your hands up and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you run the show, help us out. And lastly, that lovely Rashi, that Joseph Talmud notes, that Dafka Batiskos highlights the sneers of Rivka, that she was as oblivious to the attention as she would have been at her Patira and at her birth.
You didn't tell us about the fortune cookies.
Yeah.